Well, Lord willing, we're going to continue in the 10th chapter of Hebrews this evening. And last week we left off in the 10th verse, and I believe we'll pick up just reading from, we'll read from the 9th through the 22nd verse this evening, and then we'll get back into the 10th verse and start there. And again, that's the 10th chapter of Hebrews, and we'll begin from the 9th verse. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. And again, last week as we spoke on this verse, the I am, to do the will of God. If that isn't a testimony to our lives, to do the will of God, again, to put aside our selfishness and know that it is only gain for us. The first is gone, as it says there, the ordinance, the ceremony, the law, and now we are under the new, which is the grace of God. And it is so precious that that second has been established. But by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, nothing but the blood, by a new and a living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, with our bodies washed with pure water. That's some awesome stuff there. You can see why it's even hard for me to speak. The Holy Spirit's got to get this one done just like he always does. Hallelujah. 10th verse. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Again, it was by his death. It was one time, once for all. We are set apart from the world. We are truly a new creation in Christ Jesus. You don't feel that you fit in sometimes? That's wonderful. You're an alien. You're a child of God here tonight. You are an alien. You're not of this world. Your citizenship is in heaven. Now, if you are fitting in well in this world, then I would definitely get on my knees. And I'd say, Lord, help me. Now, we do seek peace with man as much as lies within us. We are to obey the laws of the land, the Word of God tells us. You know, we're not out there to cause trouble. We're out there to magnify the grace of God. And it's such a wonderful thing to be able to magnify the grace of God. Turn to John 6, verses 37 through 40. That's John 6, 37 through 40. It says there, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. How many more assurances do we need? How many more? Does God lie? Is it an oath? Is it a promise? It's the Word of God. It can never fail. It can never lie. He will in no wise cast us out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. Has he given us to him? Hallelujah. And what's the will of the Father? That I should lose nothing. It's done. It's finished. But should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Isn't that wonderful to know again that you are, I am the will of God? That's the will of God. To save us and to raise us up on that last day, to make us like unto His own Son. That is yours in Christ. You don't think you have something to rejoice about? This is His priesthood. It began in death on Calvary, and it's forever. And it truly is once for all. As we started reading, this is the last chapter that we're going to read about that great high priest. And isn't it something? I don't think it ever got old to me, and I don't think it did to any of you either. You wouldn't keep coming back. But we've been in this for quite a few chapters now, talking about the great high priest. And by the grace of God, may we never, ever forget that and that wonderful sacrifice that He made. But Christ is in the presence of God, ever for intercession for us. And that gives us grace. And that gives us mercy. And that gives us strength. And it readies ourselves for His soon coming. Let's go to verse 11. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Now, we have read many previous times that these legal priests were utterly insufficient to take away sin. And I want us to notice the contrast in this verse of the many things it says, and you might take notes on this, is that there were many priests, first of all, and Christ, there is the priest. It is just one, isn't it? Hallelujah. The many priests stood. Christ sat down on the right hand of God. And this signified that those priests that were standing, they could never get it done. There was no rest to them. They were always working at it. They always had to go in there. There was always a remembrance of sin. It was always in your face. And yet Christ, hallelujah, sat down, finished it, and He rested. Now, aren't we supposed to be like Him? Do you understand again that foundation's been laid? It's done. And I was so, again, convicted of myself this week. I was visiting with one of my dear brothers here in church after Sunday, and he was having a real time in trusting the Lord about a situation about his son. And the Lord told me at that time, He said, to tell him. And we did. We shared in it. Isn't it something? If that was happening to us in our lives, it'd be no problem. We know God takes care of that. But that's our child. There's no way that God can take care of that. Do you understand what I'm saying? And what, lo and behold, this week, there goes my kids back to school. And I start fretting about things. Faith. It's faith. And how precious that even God Himself, as I said, how much it means to me. And I know it, you know it, but really when it, again, it hits you, and I hope it just keeps hitting and hitting us. Hallelujah. But God didn't give Himself. He gave His Son. That's how He rested. He rested in that Son. And I want to rest in His wonderful Son that loves us so. But this signified again that their works never ended. And it's daily, notice there. Always. It's unable. There's no ability in it. Versus that it was Christ and it was once for all and it was completed. Notice it was oftentimes, it says there, the same sacrifices. And they were only common, never the real thing. Christ, once, unique, God favored. Never could those sacrifices take away sins. There was always a remembrance. Yet in Christ, there were no more sins and never to be remembered again. You think of the endless ceremony. And this is really what grieved me as I was thinking about this. The endless ceremony in many religions today. But beyond that, the endless ceremony in our stupidity and how we live sometimes. Think about the endless ceremony that we have in our lives. That we think that there's something that we can attain in favor of ourselves. And you know, as the Lord had me thinking about that again, it's our pride. It is our pride, and it will rob us. It's always there to take us down. It's always there to remind you how good you are, how capable you are, how righteous you are compared to the brother that's sitting in the next row. Do you see that? That ceremony. It truly is, if you really break it down, that ceremony. You're looking at acts. You're looking at things. God wants us to look at His Son. Hallelujah. But the ceremony appeals to the flesh. It never will cleanse. And again, it may help temporarily. I was thinking about how these different religions and ceremonies, just because people get what? Feelings, happiness, all these different things. But at the end, and I appreciated Brother Steve again, we were talking about something. I guess when the chips are down, people finally turn to the Word. But anymore in this world, as the Word of God says, they're not going to put up with sound doctrine. As I told him, I said, you know, I really do have some respect for Tony Robbins. And people would say, oh, what do you mean about that? You know, that's the guy that gets out there and tells you how to live your life and all that. He doesn't pretend to be a religious man. He is what he is. You know, if you are what you are, that's fine. Just be what you are. But now you got the Tony Robbins in the pulpits. It's true. Know what's out there. Preach the Word. See, we're going to be fine by the grace of God if we stay with the Word of God. Because that's the only thing that will be effectually working in our lives. It builds an inheritance. It pleases God. Those are the things that we want. That's the fruit of the Spirit that comes forth out of our life. Thank you, Lord. But think again of that endless ceremony, and it will grieve your heart. But verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Again, that is so wonderful. But Christ, as it starts there, our high priest, after he offered himself and won complete victory over sin. It had dominion over us. It had dominion and power over us. And again, in our lives, as we yield to God, He takes that away. And if you're sitting here tonight and you feel the oppression of sin, it doesn't have dominion over you. You're free from it. But are you yielding and living the new creation that you are? Or are you living under the heaviness of sin in your life? Be free. And it's in a moment. Faith works in the twinkling of an eye. It truly does. It delivers immediately. It doesn't need time. It's an immediate. I am standing on the promises in belief at that moment. And praise God, that's where we want to dwell. But it has no more dominion over us. Once and for all, completed, finished, forever. And He sat down in heaven at God's right hand forever to make intercession for us. Christ is in heaven. Christ is in heaven. He's not in some temporary place that man talks about. Again, I was talking to this lady, and you'll probably know which religion I'm talking about. I don't even need to tell you. But they said, well, this last Sunday, there she was in my house. And it was wonderful. And yep, I believe in the blood. And it's wonderful. I'm saved by the blood and all that. But you have to remember that Peter was our first pope. And I said, well, where is that in the Word of God? Well, we got to go back to history. And I said, well, then that doesn't mean anything, because this is what I need to know. This is what I need to know. I don't want to talk about historical things, even though I'm not going to agree with it or not. I don't want you to think I'm going there. But then it was, well, and then, you know, all the things about the Eucharist and the different things of that nature and all of that. And I said, okay, now where is that in the Word of God? Well, we write this. And I said, well, see, that's the difference. Do you want the Word of God, or do you want man's philosophy? That's what it's going to come down to. And man's philosophy will never end. And it never does. Look, they have a new religion coming out all the time. Go out to California. It'll blow your mind what's out there. Now they have a new one. I can't even think the name of it. They're taking Judaism and combining it with Scientology. Honestly. And they call it something. It's just a mess, is what I'd call it. But that's where you go. You get so far away from God, you start worshiping anything. Isn't it true? Yeah, they believe a lie. So again, pray. Pray again. I'll tell you, if you don't think you have things to pray about, you just pray for this country. Verse 13, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. This again is Psalm 110. We noted that many times. It brings us back to Hebrews 1:13. And let's just refresh ourselves here with that. That's Hebrews 1:13, where it says, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? And then if you go over to Hebrews 2:8, the same thing. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. This is to Christ. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. It is finished, yet it's still to be finished. revealed. Things are happening. The Word of God is being unfolded right before our eyes. That's what's so exciting. I've seen the things that have happened, but glory to God, we are in the age, the church age, the coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for His bride, that we are seeing these things unfold. Just like I said today. Yeah, I listen to the radio sometimes back and forth from church. What's going on in Israel right now with that give back and this back and all of that. They're trying to seek peace. They're trying to find it. And they're going to cry peace and safety here pretty quick. They're gonna cry it, and it's coming right down the pike. And you better realize, it says, when these things start happening, look up. It's nigh. It is nigh, and he's just on the horizon. And hallelujah, we see it coming. Don't let these people get to you, say, oh, where is Jesus? He's been gone so long. He's been this and that. You're dealing with the I Am. Look at what they say, even this world, allegedly. And I don't know if he made it look a jillion years old or not. And I really don't care. He didn't tell me. Those aren't things I want to know. It's not that I'm being ignorant or something to say, oh, I'm not facing reality. No. I know that my God made it. How old he made it look, whether it was Adam, a man or a baby. He made him a man. He could have made this world, as we know, look very old. Just settle in it and go on. What does it say? Abstain, avoid foolish questions. You ever seen Christians get into foolish questions? I know a man right now, him and his church, they're going through the code of the IRS, looking at it and saying, well, we can't sign this to set up our... This is what they're studying in their church right now. The code of the IRS to figure out if they should sign that because they think that they're confessing the Eucharist. That's what I'm saying. It's just bizarre. Why would you even talk about that? Who cares? What does it even matter? You grieve. But it is amazing where people can go, this a man is saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. You get away from the things of God and it'll take you. I got to get back to this. Okay. Again, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Some try to confuse and say that the Bible contradicts itself about Christ's role in this respect. I want to go to Acts 2:33. Let's just look at a few places here again where it says our wonderful Lord and Savior is. That's Acts 2:33. That comforter had to come for a reason, because here's where the Lord went. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. And that was Acts 2:33. Now let's go over to Romans 8:34. Romans 8:34. Who is he that commendeth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Hallelujah. Colossians 3:1. And there's many others, and I don't want to belabor it, but again, just to know, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. And then we have Hebrews 10:12, which we just read, where he is sat down on the right hand of God. I think this confirms that he is now seated at the right hand of God, ever to make intercession for us. Done, completed. Hallelujah. And again, that intercession is, again, praying for us. Everything, being our ability, our strength, our sufficiency. And at the same time, through that Holy Spirit, this is where we're getting into the fullness of God. And Christ is the fullness of God. Everything was in him, and it fully dwelt. And he wants to give that to us. I'm starting to see this. I'm starting to see the fullness of God for the first time in my life. Hallelujah. It is true. I'm starting to see that fullness of what Christ is to us. And it is so good. Ephesians chapter 1, let's go there, verse 22. It says there that, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. And here's where people will get a little bit confused, because it says, well, all things aren't yet put under him. Well, all things to the church are put under him. And that is truly the things that matter to us. all of that other stuff. It's finished. It's done. The finishing work of the bride of Christ is what we're after. Hallelujah. And He is the head, and again, the fullness of God. But as in Hebrews 2:8, as we read back there, not yet all things are put under Him. And that again refers to this verse that we are just reading here, to Christ's enemies. That He will make His footstool. And Christ has enemies. I meet them every day. When I become the sword, do you understand that when I say that? This in us, we become the sword. And I'll tell you, we get real sharp. And we get right down to the intents of the hearts with people. And it convicts them. And it's either going to convict them to love or it's going to convict them to hate. When you have a testimony, and I'm leaking a little bit for Sunday, when you have a testimony, that's how you're going to convict. Woe when all men speak well of you. Everybody's speaking well of you. You don't have a testimony. That's what that woe is. Make a stand. Take a stand. Stand and withstand and stand again for the things of God. That's what it's about. Hallelujah. John and Peter were giggling and laughing after they were beaten and scourged because they said, praise the Lord. We just got beaten and scourged because we were in defense of the gospel for Jesus Christ's suffering's sake. They knew they were getting somewhere with Him. Is that how we are? Are we just nuts like them? Crazy like a fox? Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. I think this will continue on with this. 1 Corinthians 15. Verses 24 through 28. Then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. Now again, this is so simple and it's so wonderful. Now we're talking about the kingdom age. Okay, we're in the church age. When it's finished, when this is the footstool happening here, this is when we're getting into the kingdom age. That's why these people that get confused with baptism about getting out there and say we're going to have a world revival and we got to get out there and preach the word to every man and creature and all that. Sure, we live the word of God and we want to have a wonderful testimony, but that where that revival is coming, that's in the kingdom age. That's coming. He's about His bride right now. That's what this thing is about. The mystery of the ages. The goodly pearl we sang about tonight, that's what He is searching for. That's what He wants to get ready. That's what's hindering. That's what's keeping everything back from being unfolded, is the finishing of that bride. And at the same time, when all of these things come to pass, look up. Look up. I know we're about there. Praise God. Hallelujah. That we could see this by His grace. But the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For He hath put all things under His feet. But when He saith all things are put under Him, it is manifest that He is accepted, which did put all things under Him. And when all things shall be subdued unto Him, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. Can you imagine someday what's going to be? I can't imagine what someday is going to be. But I just started thinking about that fullness of God and what it means and what we're going to partake in. And how God has His such wonderful part in our life through His Son. And it took His wonderful Son to get us to be accepted, that we could participate in that Trinity to be acceptable to God. And then to become Christ-like, it had to be the Holy Spirit. And we know that, but that effectual working of the Holy Spirit, I must go so the Comforter may come. How hard it was for Jesus to go. He had to leave. That had to be a hard thing. But yet He's waiting. Yet He's waiting. And He knows that joy that's set before Him will be fulfilled in that life. But again, this last bow is death, then it's finished. Then we'll be at the end. And in that end we're talking about here is of the millennium. See, we're going to have a 7-year tribulation. Then we're going to have a millennium for 1,000 years. And at its end, Satan, death, and hell, and all will be cast into the lake of fire. Let's go over to Revelation 20. I know many of you know this, but I think it might even be a little bit more clear to you what was going on here with Hebrews. That's Revelation chapter 20. We're going to read verse 4 and 6. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, this again is during the millennium. This is after the 7-year tribulation. This is when Christ takes his reign in that 1,000 years. Revelation 20. Let's go over to verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Go over to the 14th verse. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There is a judgment coming, folks. And don't let them tell you that God is so merciful there couldn't be a hell. Well, let me tell you something. God is so merciful there is a hell. Now, you think, and more so, there's a lake of fire. And you think about, how could that be mercy? Because God has to have judgment. Everything has got to give praise and honor to His Son. So you think those that have submitted by His grace we have here tonight, I hope everyone is a child of God here, but we have submitted to that. We have listened to that call and said, Lord, I believe. You're my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't have to worry about Da Vinci codes. I don't have to worry about all this stuff. I know. And they know that's false junk anyways. Hate to even pay it any credence because it shouldn't even be mentioned. But it's junk. And remember that. And they can prove that it's all fake anyways. But more importantly, do you believe that this is the Word of God? Do you believe that this is the truth? That's what we believe in. Hallelujah. But it is coming someday so quickly that Christ Jesus is going to have, there's going to be judgment that God is going to have. And it's going to magnify His Son. And it's going to give praise and honor to His Son. Because there must be a judgment for the wicked. And the wicked is anyone who has not accepted Him as Lord and Savior. And He will be magnified in that. It's just like anything else. If there is a murderer, somebody that's murdered out there, there is a justice when they're punished. Is there not? There is. There is a justice. There's a justice when this will be punished, when they will be punished. It's true. Now, we don't want anybody to perish. We don't want anybody to go to hell. More importantly, Christ didn't. God didn't. He loved the world. He sent His Son to save that which was lost. We were all lost. But there's a judgment, and it is going to magnify His Son. Praise the Lord. That is their payday, which will be an eternal, horrific death. Let's get over to the 14th verse. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Christ's death again, and that alone perfected believers. I've heard so many people, even Christians, that try to wiggle in and out of a goodness for somebody. Well, He was so good, He had to have something. No, if He didn't have the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He's wicked. And just call it what it is. And that's how you approach things in your life, and that'll give you an urgency to witness, to testify to somebody, to not mealy-mouth around with someone to say, hey, look, do you know that you need Jesus in your life, or you're going to face an eternal hell, and more importantly, an eternal death, which God has prepared to magnify His Son. I don't know if it gets any more clear than that. But there's no works or deeds in this. It's only by the blood. And we have been made perfect in this plan by His blood. And notice again that it's forever. It's not temporal. It's not He's taken us somewhere and then we got to do something again. And we got to take it and then there's more hurdles here. No, no, no. This is the eternal, what did it say, riches of His grace, His undeserved gift. We've already received it. I can't even imagine what's coming. And we haven't even begun to see it because we need that glorified body, that glorified everything that's going to be able to partake fully in this someday. Thank you, Lord. And it's seen there. And again, notice that word. It's forever in verse 12. It's unending. His priesthood in verse 12, it's unending. As our perfect salvation that we read right here in verse 14 is unending. It's forever. It's I am. Again, it's Ephesians 1:6 that He has made us accepted in the Beloved. You're not accepted Most of us aren't accepted in a lot of things, are we? We can't go to many of the nice country clubs here in town. You couldn't really walk up into the White House right now and they wouldn't just throw open the gates for you, would they now? We don't even need to go that far, so I hope I'm not discouraging. Do you realize what's been thrown open for you? The arms of Jesus are open for you. And heaven's going to stand someday. I love that song, "When the Saints Go Marching In," huh? About time. It's about time. Thank you, Lord. Verse 15 and 16. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. It doesn't need to be any more clear than that either, does it? You want a witness to you? It's the Holy Ghost. We're going to read, Lord willing, Sunday, not to be filled with the Holy Ghost, but to be full of the Holy Ghost. Overflowing. You want testimony? You want witness? You got to get full. Not just filled, full, overflowing. There's a difference. It's like when I get up to the table sometimes, man, you know, I'm filled up, I'll eat some more. You know, when I'm full, you don't even want to know what I feel like at that time. But that time, there ain't no more getting in there. But with Christ, it's full and overflowing. I better stop. All right. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." This is great importance. Great importance. This is the necessity of the new creation to grow. Again, I've been talking to you about Colossians so much. And again, most of the day, maybe I hope this is, I shouldn't say that. I know the Holy Spirit's here tonight and He's flowing this thing as He needs to. But the Lord just had me in Colossians pretty much all this afternoon again. Just in that Colossians. All those words of perfection, perfecting, perfect. And you go back and read and just study and looking those up. And it means fully grown, a full age. Mature. All of those wonderful things. See, there's a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And He's getting that bride ready. Praise God, He's getting that bride ready. And it is this new creation that grows up in us. The law in the hearts and minds is to know the will of God. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. To know the will of God. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now let's turn over to John 7:17. That's John 7:17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. So see, again, we have that the proof of someone in God's will is one that knows the doctrine. I love that. Maybe another way to say it is to know the doctrine. You think is God's will? I believe it is. I believe it said sound doctrine. Know the doctrine. If you look at with the word doctrine again, it's the principles. It's the line. It's the verse. It's the word. It's the precepts. It's the meaning. See, I can have so much up here. And I've heard saints say before, and I'll be with you, sometimes I can't quote it exactly right. I don't know exactly where it is, and I'm sure that there's many, many people that may know more of where things are and what things are and be able to quote the Word of God than I can. God isn't looking for here. He's looking for right here. And know that. That's not a cop-out. It's not. You know the Word of God, and and you study to show yourself approved. You get into this, and He'll give that to you. And the Holy Spirit will make intercession for you. It's wonderful the boldness that you can have in witnessing to people. The boldness that I have by the grace of God to be up on, like I said, not just priests and kings. Oh my gosh. What I stand before tonight. Not to give you big heads. Know what you are in Christ. But by the grace of God, I have to have boldness in Him. Not in me. Not in me. But it's the effectual working of the Word of God. That's what He's after. He didn't say, well, I'm after great minds. I'm after people that are real thinkers. I'm after those that are after my heart. There's not many mighty, there's not many wise that are going to enter in those gates, okay? There's not many mighty, there's not many wise that are going to be in the bride of Christ. Because those are in the gates. Okay? Know what He's calling you to. I'm not insulting you here. You might be mighty and wise, I don't know. Just be wise in the Scriptures. Be mighty in the power of His might, which is the Holy Spirit. That's what we're after by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Now see, that just builds you up, doesn't it? Hallelujah. In Him. To know that it is Him. All right. So how do we know, again, this doctrine or this will? Let's go over here to John chapter 16. The Lord's encouraged me. I'm not going to hurry anymore. We're going to get to where we can get to. We'll cut it off and that's it. I'm not going to try to give you two or three verses in 4 minutes. Okay, Lord willing. Unless He wanted me to, but I don't think we're going there. That's chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. I have yet many things to say to you. This is Jesus again, speaking to His disciples. But ye can't bear them now. And it's speaking to us. I hope you understand that. You're a child of God here tonight. It's speaking to you. Speaking to me. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life, really listen to this. This is about the Holy Spirit. So He has many things to say unto His children, but a lot of His children can't bear it or understand it right now. However, or howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now, the Spirit of truth is here. It's here at the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Coming in and filling people mightily. But if you haven't had the Holy Spirit come yet into your life, you don't have this. You can't bear this. Well, you may be here and we're talking, and that's a wonderful thing. It is, and not discouraging. The Lord is encouraging you on. He's brought you into this place, believe it or not, because He's counted you at least worthy to hear it. Now, you're going to feed on it or not? You're going to go into it or not? Okay? And just because you have the Holy Spirit or that infilling doesn't mean that you're all in all and it's all okay and it's all sewed up and it's done either. It's called a yielded life, but it's yielded before the Holy Spirit. What do you think it even said there about the Holy Spirit? He's the one that's going to lead us into these things. He's the one that's going to guide us into all these things. He's the one that's going to make it known. And look what it says here. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come in your life, He will guide you into all truth. Again, the disciples that were with Christ for 3 years, sitting in front of Him, listening to His word, had not yet been into all truth. Yet they were sitting in the presence of the truth. It's the truth. Now He wants all of it in them. Right? But I must go so the Comforter may come. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Now people get off. Here's other Christians. They'll start getting off into worshiping the Holy Spirit. What does it say here that the Holy Spirit does? It doesn't speak of Himself, does it? He points everything to Jesus. Whatsoever you say or do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. All in the name of Jesus. We're not Jesus only. No, there's a wonderful Trinity. That's the fullness of God. It's given to His Son. And that's for us. Oh, hallelujah. See how simple this is? And yet they try to contort it and twist it. And He will show you things to come. You want to learn about Revelation? That's things to come. You need the Holy Spirit. That's the things to come. And He shall glorify Me. For He shall receive of Mine, He'll take the things of Mine, and shall make it yours, or show it unto you. And the things that the Father has are Mine, therefore said, that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you. 2 times He says that, sufficient witness. Trying to get it through our heads. We need this, and get it into our heart. Listen. Listen. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to get this done by the grace of God. He sheds this truth. What do you think the love of God is? This is the love of God. He sheds this abroad in your heart. You need not just the infilling. You need the full of the Holy Ghost. I hope you come back Sunday morning. You might say, well, I heard that Wednesday. Well, you'll hear it again. But the Holy Spirit helps perfect and prepare the bride. He shows us the way, just like Eliezer showed the way for Rebekah. Just like Haggai prepared Esther for the king. Wonderful, wonderful types and symbols. But we're the real deal. We're the ones being prepared for that bride. We are the revelation of that. By the grace of God, that's the place that we take in Him. To become like Him. To be changed into His same image. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 3:18. I know we did read that Sunday, but so wonderful to see this, to change into the same image. It says, "But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord." It's like a mirror. What are you looking at? What do you see when you see the mirror? I kind of look in there and I kind of look at my eyes and I said, "Do I see Jesus in there sometimes?" I'm sorry, I don't want to get weird on you, but I kind of do. I want people to see the Lord in me, not to self-righteous. I want to magnify the grace of God. I want to have a testimony. I want people to know that I've been with Jesus. I do. I want them to take note of me. Most of them stay away. He's weird. Okay. But they are changed into the same image from glory to glory. It just gets better and better and better, doesn't it? The epitome of what we're reading about the better in the Hebrews. Even as what? As by the Spirit of the Lord. You want real growth. We want real magnification of Christ in us. It's the Spirit of the Lord. And it's the Holy Spirit again that sheds this glory upon us by the grace of God to prepare us for a wedding day that's coming soon. Coming soon. Let's bow our heads. I would have hoped to have gotten a little bit further tonight, but you know what? The Lord knows. Dear God, again, we thank you for this time together. I can't tell you myself how I appreciate the fellowship. I thank you that, again, you've caused us and that we're not forsaking the gathering of ourselves together. We are gathering ourselves together and the much the more as we see that day approaching. Let us know and be encouraged to gather with the saints, Lord. You know, to take that time and to really redeem the time. Hallelujah. That we know that this is working for our good, that this is building the precious stone in our life. May we have that great vision of you, Lord Jesus, which you're calling us into, to be one with you. And again, we say, Lord, come quickly. In Jesus' name, amen.